Chapter 10. So much more. But what? The glare of the noonday sun made Chase squint his eyes as he rode forward toward his destination. His assignment here in this foreign land had not been something he wanted at all. His superiors thought of it as a reward for his impressive actions on the battlefront. He was far more comfortable on the battlefield, subduing armed foes, than here dealing with day-to-day issues of an occupied people who hated him being there. At least in war, you knew clearly who your enemy was. Chase had already been dealing with his own internal battles, now had begun seeing things through a totally different light than he had ever known. He had recently been given a special assignment, which was actually the source of this new way of seeing. It had changed his whole view, not just of military life, but life itself. This assignment was strange from the start for a strong, often feared leader such as Chase. He'd always been taught to keep to himself, not become close to anyone, because he may have to make a life or death choice for anyone under his command at any time, and he could not have any emotional involvement with anyone. Respect, even if from fear of consequence, was imperative. So why was he now beginning to question all he had ever known? Where was this strange view coming from? Actually, he did know. He knew all too well. The funny thing is, it was happening because of his new assignment. How upset would his superiors actually be if they had a clue their actions would lead to the softening of one of its best commanders? His job simply keeping an eye on a possible rebel leader in the region. Remember, in an occupied land, anyone can lead a rebellion at any time. Some had actually grown to fear this leader, as the number of those who followed him had grown greater and greater. This land had long been a hotspot for uprisings, and all who brought attention to themselves by things they said or did became a threat. For this reason, Chase was told to stay close to this man, listening to all he had to say, observing everything he did. Time and time again, he heard this charismatic, dynamic, persuasive speaker mesmerize audiences gathered before him to the amazement of his followers and the rising concern of his skeptics. Chase found it at first nothing more than foolish words aimed at weak, simple-minded people who needed some form of hope in a hopeless time. But lately he, too, had begun to listen a little closer. Something within him was stirred as he heard the words gently spoken. He often thought, how can this man be a threat to anyone? He tells everyone he meets that he is there to serve them, to show them a light they have long sought. Some seem to understand, others seem to question all he says. He often speaks of one who sent him, and this makes some even madder at him. His following still grows. He brings a sense of peace to a needy crowd. Chase has his own battle raging with which he so badly wants a peace. People, of course, avoid Chase as he represents all they see as evil. Some look at him and then at this leader with a hope that he is here to get rid of the likes of Chase and his people. Chase had never heard a word spoken by this man that would make one think of this, though. He believed it was more the desire of the people than any goal of this man. He did, though, hear often of another kingdom, a different set of rules and standards for his followers, different than those of others. This might have been enough to have him taken away if the wrong person heard it or believed it. What was probably the hardest thing for Chase to hear was the idea that love was the greatest power of all. Did he not rule by fear, evil, and complete control for almost all his life, serving his leaders by taking all that stood before him, either by killing them or having them submit to his rule? Yet hadn't he already, from somewhere deep inside, begun to question this way of life? This had caused such a battle to rage within him that some close to him began to question even his ability to command. As he arrived near the crowd that day, he had so many things running through his head. Somehow he sensed this was where he had to be, where he was actually supposed to be. He got off his horse and stood at the edge of the large crowd that gathered. They were here again to hear this man speak. As the first words reached Chase's ears, he felt a strange but welcome sensation grow inside of him, sort of burning. It almost caused him to fall to the ground, but a quick grab, he caught the saddle, held himself upright. Looking around to see if anyone saw him, he caught sight of another group separated from the larger crowd. They were gathered nearby under a large sycamore tree. There were numerous women and children there, since customs would not allow them to gather with the men being taught. Slightly separated from them, but still under the tree, was what appeared to be a man wrapped in a hooded robe of some sort. This seemed quite strange, as he should and could be with the other men, and how odd that he would be wearing such covering in this staggering heat. He made note to keep an eye on this man. His attention soon was drawn back to the teacher and his piercing words. He spoke of odd things like forgiveness, helping the poor, something about asking and seeking and knocking. All these things he had heard before, yet they made no sense to Chase, but today they seemed different. Today they seemed to make sense somehow. They were totally opposite of all he had been taught or practiced. Was it just today, or had they been impacting him for some time now? He'd kept an eye on this man for some time now, a forced audience, as it were. He realized his mind had wandered, pondering these words and their effects on him. Looking up, Chase saw the crowd begin to part. Suddenly, there before him walked the man he had been assigned to watch. With eyes unlike any he had ever seen, the man looked over at him, seeming to see into his very heart. Chase was frozen. How could this man have such an effect on him? He was a hardened soldier who had looked into the eyes of countless men as they breathed their last by his hands. Yet this man, without a word, without a blow, without anything more than a simple look, had caused something to break deep inside of him. If the crowd had not moved forward and caused Chase to look away, he was sure he would have fallen to his knees before this man that very moment. Shook his head in wonder. What was happening to him? He heard some say, as they passed, how this man had spoken as one who actually had authority. Chase knew a lot about authority, yet he had never experienced what had taken place this day. He followed the crowd that descended the hill, following in the footsteps of this leader. Something inside was driving Chase now. He needed to get closer to this teacher, this man, this what. He felt he was more, so much more, but what? A life I live as others do. I trudge along. There's nothing new. I do all that is asked of me. I've become what I was trained to be. I don't think about it. I just obey. I was trained to act just this way. To rule over the weak, oppress the poor, fight and kill till there are no more. To take it all, claim it in their name, for my leader's glory and their fame. Receiving what they've given me, I wear my awards for all to see. A perfect soldier in their eyes, never yielding to mercy's cries, conquering all the foreign lands, victoriously treading on the blood-soaked sand. So what is this that I now feel? Questioning of what is real. How can that be for such as I, who never question or even ask why? Can words alone so affect a man and make him wonder if he can be the heartless man that he has been? Can he ever show any love again? The words, they seem to come in power. They grow with beauty just like a flower. Yet it's the man from whom they flow that really causes this change to grow. Power and control is all I've known, love and mercy having never shown. But now I can't be who I was. I'm different now just because. I heard him speak. I heard him say, you can be different this very day. Can it be that it's for real? He says, listen now, here's the deal. It's not that you win, it's that you lose. It's giving up, not trying to choose. You have to see that I'm what you need. I've proved it, son. For you, I'll bleed. No one has ever spoken like this. I see it now, what others did miss. It's giving up, it's letting go. I have it now, it's love I'll show. I'm different now, and I'm glad. With this life I've never had, for my cold heart was truly broken by just the words that he had spoken.